down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, I hope I find you good, in good health after that speech that seems that you enjoyed yesterday evening by the Prime Minister. Now, Mr. Ellis, first of all, this is why I call. Last Friday I had a conversation with you. After I hang up, a gentleman calling right behind me and described me as a person who's talking about foolishness every day and things like that. That way, really, why worry about, because people are free to speak, to think how they're pleased. And here it is, we had a gentleman from St. John today, and the lady came in after two. What I would like to find out, how can someone hold a phone or have it on the speaker for over an hour? And when they get a chance, the only thing they could speak about is the caller who spoke before them. As when they didn't take out the phone with a plan to say or to make a contribution to the program instead of being critical of the last speaker. It's funny. But let me move on to my main point. Mr. Ellis, I was told and listening to the Prime Minister yesterday that a lot of the weight now to get this economy moving will be mainly on the private sector. You also pick up that?
I would expect so.
Okay. Now, I'm going to prove to you how it can't work. Because in all of my time, I have never seen it work. And if it can work in the good times, when Barbados credit rating was better, and all credit cards, they max out, I can't see it working now. And let me give you reasons why I say that. Let's start with 76. The second best leader this country ever produced, Mr. Tom Adams, got in 1976. And he went on a program that the Barbados probably like to do, spending money. But the thing about it, he spent money in areas that helped this economy. And I think his own party, I think, destroyed some of his good plans that he had put in place. And by 81, by spending so much money, you got into trouble. But if you get into trouble spending money wise, you always get out. And that is, I believe, Tom Adams. Then we come up to 1994. Arthur took over leadership behind Sir Lord Erskine Sandiford, who at that time have taken nearly all the burden of the government harbour, transport board, all the areas that the government had to be subsidizing at that time. Sir Lord Erskine Sandiford became the most unpopular leader at that time, around that time, because he made it easy for the incoming government, which was Mr. Arthur. Mr. Arthur came in, and for some reason, he wanted to employ 30,000 people in that sector. I'm going over that because we talk about it already. What I can't understand is keep hearing people coming on this radio station and give the impression that all the problems this country got that we are witnessing now started in 2008. Ms. Ellis, all of us know the amount of money and the amount of money that was borrowed and everything that was sold and etc. In the last, let's say, 40 years or so, this problem that we are experiencing now, it started in 2008.
You what happened on in 2008? You know, sorry? How many times you've used this forum to just say that?
No, I let mean, me
after, after this weekend's comments by the Prime Minister and the direction that the country is taking right now, who you really believe is interested in that kind of rehash?
But no, you just allow people to go back to Thompson.
To Thompson?
I mean, my late Thompson. Let me explain to you, I get into the point. I coming away to this time that you and I
had this conversation before, I'm sure.
No, not the way putting it this time.
Same conversation, but in it's a different style, I suppose.
This is what I'm trying to tell you. In 2008, Mr. Thompson's first budget, he had to raise taxes. Why do an incoming government have to raise taxes, Ms. Ellis? When in Barbados, when a government getting, let's say in January, a couple months away from the estimate being produced to the country, why that government will have to increase taxes, Ms. Ellis?
You tell me.
Ms. Ellis, you more qualified than me?
Mm-mm, you tell me, son.
I want you to educate people. Huh?
No, because you usually when you ask questions, you got the answers too. So let me hear you. It's better for me to listen to you than to give you my view.
Miss Ellis, the estimates will begin to be worked out just now. You know that at the moment, all the statutory boards and departments and government is getting ready to work out the estimates for 2019-20. Am I right or wrong?
We should be working on it all like now, yes.
Okay.
And?
So when a government come into power in 2008, the 15th of January, that means the estimates had already been there, right or wrong?
Most likely.
Okay. Then the government now that have to balance it. Because in all I hear about all this, the philosophy and all that, in January 2008, the Prime Minister had to balance it. We were spending more than we were pulling in. Right or wrong?
Now you say all of that to say what?
No, what I'm trying to say, I would like callers, like Tallboy and those fellas, to stop fooling the public because they believe that people are foolish. Look, I just hear Tallboy say that when these 1,500 people go home, how good it's going to be for the country. We ain't got masons, we ain't got this. And he seemed to forget what he said when the 1,600 went home in 2014. It was the worst thing in Barbados history. What these people going to do? And he went on. So I don't have to believe that the people forget what they had said before. So let me get
I think both of you in this, both of you are in the same
position.
No,
Miss Ellis. Anything that you hear me say for the 20 or 22 months I was on this air, prove to me that I said something you could forever got me near on. I could call so many things the stats man. So many things, all of them say things that fall back in their face. Call something that I can say that could fall back in my face.
The Democratic Labour Party was going to win the last election.
When you belong to an organization, even when you don't. when Holland says that the vaccine is going to be in there, you believe Holland believe that?
So you didn't believe it when you said it?
Mr. Ellis, I go down. I gain war, I going out to the end. If I lose, I lose.
There you go. All the top of my head, I can remember that.
Mr. Ellis, this is what I'm not talking about, something like that. I talk about issues and saying things that come back to haunt them. What I'm saying is, Mr. Ellis.
This one come back to haunt you too?
No. Nothing so can come back to haunt me. This prime minister that we have at the moment remind me of what my mother always used to tell me. Most people that is good at criticizing can't do nothing.
You fall into that category too.
Listen, and most of them could speak well.
Like you.
Most men that mislead women and get them pregnant and run and left, they'll be speak talkers. All they could do is talk well. And when you look, nothing behind it. I am telling you this, Mr. Ellis, and you can believe what I tell you. How can you be sending home people and tell them that you got the back? Only you got the back. And you could have even you, Mr. Ellis, this morning, giving me the impression that things is put in place for a person going home. You won't tell me you're saying home.
Well, what did I say? I said that it is one thing to talk about it, is another thing to implement it. I mean, I didn't go any further than that way. I'm not so stupid.
I tell you that's right. I tell you, I hope they keep you the standard of the fellas before. You hear that gentleman you spoke to just now?
Which one?
You say from North or something or so?
Which North?
Everybody's called the station that.
You mean your friend? When I hear him and I hear you, when I hear him, I will hear you. And most likely, I'm going to hear the fella from Strickest Territory. And I've come to this conclusion that the three of you either have a conference every weekend or get together on the telephone and compare notes and determine what strategy you are going to employ on Mondays.
But let me tell you this, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
The only person in that group I know is Rekus Tenish, because I met him at George Street.
Yes.
Okay? And I met him there. I didn't know that was Rekus Tenish. But then when he explained who he is, I know him because I'm a Black Rockian, and you know, because you know him too, because he's a Black Rockian. But this Rekus Tenish, I didn't know who it was first. But the gentleman from St. John that I would love to meet, I would meet him tomorrow.
You mean the Eki Beki?
Eki Beki? He's a master, man. And he's 85 years old. And he's 85 years old. He came in at 85 years old. And tell me what, he
So you think that, you think that he's a liar?
I don't know if he's a liar. I feel that he wants to believe he's old. I don't be a liar. He just wants to disguise the age. Let me tell you.
But dear loving people don't do that?
And so that he's a boat owner. He got to be a man that was qualified in some in languages and speak.
And he can't own boats too?
I mean, you hear what you say? And own boats. He's too intelligent only to be a boat owner. He got to be a person who used to lecture or who used to teach. Or the man is too well qualified and he's got all your...
You believe he's an Eki Beki?
Yeah, he could be an Eki Beki. Although okay. I don't like using that term, but if you use it, I could use it.
Yeah, well, that's
but
a term
to me,
you use.
To me, he sounds like a St. John person. But he's very, very, very intelligent.
He sounds like a strong and deep Democratic Labour Party supporter like you.
Don't worry about that. You don't tell BLP, so?
Yes, I do. Come okay, on. People you. Like... Come on, you got convenient hearing. When people like Tallboy come on the air sometimes, you've heard me tell him the same thing. That's not true.
But, Mr. Ellis... Before I have the lesson, I was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the gospel truth. When the prime minister said that with these people going home, they could go back and study and think, what am I, 54 years old, going back to study to do?
You know that learning is supposed to be a lifelong pursuit.
Okay, but Miss Ellis.
Do you know how many people have lost their jobs in other places, even in this country, at late stages in life and have gone on to do other things?
Yes, but the thing about it is...
Well, that's what you need to encourage.
But don't worry, I'm over 70 now. Let's say I was working at 70,
mm-hmm.
and I had get sent home. I already have a man at 54 that was working, let's say, 20 years or 15 years steady, and lost his job. First thing, he got to get over that stress of losing it to start to, and on top of, don't talk about a lady at all. Because in Barbados, they're like employing women over 50 period. So when you say, oh, woman 50 and over, don't talk about sending her, she knows where to learn that unless she don't put in herself. And you're not going to be able to learn to do it for themselves. You could get one or two people to come at your home and watch them and pick up from them. So
you,
I would like
you know
to
that there are a lot of people in Barbados who actually do rotis and bread and that sort of thing, and sell them to the auto marks and that sort of thing.
I'm not saying that 1,500 people shouldn't go home or not, because I don't know the economics of it. And don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is I don't like people to be fooling me.
Who's fooling you? You're a fool that somebody who's at 50 years of age cannot be retrained? That's what you're saying?
Let me ask you, to be certain way, me by fooling me. You really believe, Miss Ellis, that 99% of people approve that?
The truth of the matter is that whether 99%... You're talking about the debt swap? Don't forget that the NIS had must be about 40% already. So, I mean, it was only for the institutional investors and individuals. I have no reason to doubt the veracity of what the Prime Minister is saying.
Miss Ellis, ain't nothing in the world.
You get 99%?
You got people's funds and that you get a 99%. Miss Ellis says that is impossible. Stop. Not only that, before I hang up, this is the one that annoyed me too. Because I'm a straight shooter. We have programs in this country that are getting stopped. We have people that saved the money, got in problems and collected some. We have people in a lady called Benina Miss Husbands that beat the, Don the Innes, that defeated Don the Innes. She is on the radio boasting, I call her boasting. There's nothing wrong with trying to help people that is in need. But if you live in a house that you pay $25 or $30 a week in rent, or the house was given to you and you no longer pay the rent, you might not got the plot and thing for it, you might not got the surveyors that might not have been taken yet, and it ain't truthfully yours, but you no longer pay rent. And in this house, you believe you should have some of the most modern things, washing machine, all sorts of things. You don't believe that you, the owner of the house, should find it possible to look around for an electrician and let it change up and put in some breakers that you won't got all the way going.
Listen, here's somebody.
Let me finish. I hear her giving me the impression in hard times, she got 2 point something million to where the houses in her area and the pine. But they ain't got houses in the farm. They ain't got houses in the lodge. I am saying that 2 point something million dollars should be having put one side to help all the people at 75 and 2 years.
Well, my recollection is that there were about 2 fires in that particular area because of the faulty electrical system. And one may look at it from the point of view of the urgency of the situation there. But certainly, I don't believe that it will begin and end at Haynesville. Here's a comment, though. This person says, your current caller, meaning you, is entitled to his position, but I think he's blowing nothing but smoke. Miss Motley is doing what she believes has to be done to bring this country out of the pit the Democratic Labour Party has dropped us in due to their inability to govern. It's time the country move forward and give the Prime Minister time to heal the country. She's only been Prime Minister for 4 months and is doing a great job so far, says that particular writer.
Can I reply?
This
can
other person says, I can give you a chance to respond. Mr. Ellis, I'm 60. I'm now running my own little business. I don't have a choice. Adapt or die, says that person.
Can I reply?
This other person tells me, you know, I can't believe you're entertaining this clown talking such whatever about older women and they're incapable of being able to adjust and retrain. So these are some of the comments that I got.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, please.
What you read that? Did I say that? I say in Barbados to employ someone, to tell someone at 54 to go and retrain, especially women who people don't want to employ at all. How that last reading match what I say?
Fair enough. What were the other stuff that
I don't believe you should have read it. But let me get to the first fellow that you just read from. I want him to go back. That is why I need to go back and come forward. Ray Thompson in 2008, he started to get licks. Well, I mean, the only aggressive interview you had in the last 10 years is with Thompson.
Who, me?
Yeah, I'm not with Mr. Fenderstro at all.
I had an aggressive interview?
Yeah, I get into the point. I didn't tell you why it was aggressive.
Let me hear you.
And you had a sit-down with this Prime Minister. I wouldn't call that no big interview. That was a sit-down conversation. Because it happened so soon after the election.
It was early.
I don't think you could have hit that turn or nothing at that time. It was too early.
Precisely. After the election. Fair enough.
But you carry my Prime Minister, my great young man, to the bone, Miss Ellis. And I can tell you this.
I don't remember that.
Well, I used to remember, not you. And let me tell you this, Miss Ellis. The BLPs in 2008, in Mr. Thompson's first budget, when he had put some taxes on rent shops and etc., Kate Thompson to the bone. And let me tell you this, when he increased the water by 60%, the people are going to murder him for that. And my waterway, and all I will tell you, all of us, we water only moved, mine moved to $35 with the 60% increase. Now you have a government in power that seems to be running. They have to take off 100 yards when it's a long distance race. They want to do everything one time. And hobbling the whole place. but yet it's nothing. Oh, the hole in your shoulder and the hole in your back.
The response that I hear to comments like yours is, but who put us in this position?
That's all of those. I remember
what they come back to the leadership. That may be so, but they give a greater degree of weight to the last 10 years when the debt increased substantially under the Democratic Labour Party, when the foreign reserves continue to fall, and where growth, indeed, it is only towards the latter stages that there was this 1 to 1.5% growth, but generally speaking, the country went backwards in that regard.
Well, Mr. Ellis, I know what this backwards thing you're talking about.
Yeah, because there was negative growth for a considerable period. We declined.
Did you check up for me?
What?
Who is the last person in government, under the Mr. Onafa government, that then has secured a loan in the last 5 to 6 months at 2007?
I don't remember being given that task.
Do you remember we going and bought over $100 million from any financial institution in the late 2007?
Possibly so. But you know what? Back then, the debt-to-GDP ratio was nowhere near where it was when the Democratic Labour Party left.
Why I want you to check that out, Mr. Ellis.
The country was in a position where foreign direct investment was coming in at a rate where we could have sustained the debt that we had incurred.
Anyway, getting that, you know, Mr. Ellis, I'll be getting that thing.
What do you want to get at?
There are people who say it all the time, I hear up to today, that all foreign reserves was over $2 billion. I want to know.
Part of it was borrowed, half of it might have been borrowed.
Why we were still borrowing money in 2007 if all reserves was good?
Because we also had a strong amount of foreign direct investment. So that helped us to be able to carry that burden. We didn't have the heavy loss of income taxes and revenue, that came when the financial sector pulled out of the country and stuff like that. So, you know. Anyhow, thanks for your contribution. We're going to the latest and then we'll be back. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I just heard the beep at the phone. I think that I'm on the air now. Good afternoon to you too.
Hi, good afternoon.
There's this thing that that it seems to be, I don't know, where do you start when you have so much to say but you want to say it quick and not waste people's time? Where do you start? No? You have people going home, 1,500 people going home. They claim certainly from this camp has always been that we don't have Labour parties. We actually do have lawyer parties, not Labour parties. And you're going to have the Labour people meeting this afternoon. I would like to somehow use the Labour people to make our lives better. Because if I were in that room, I would get it on the first day. Because I'm not part of the Labour construct. If I were part of the Labour construct, I would get in that room and say, listen, people, when they get sent home, and you're supposed to believe that that's a serious move towards a particular end. Whereas as far as the IMF is concerned, it's about the cost of government, and not so much the number of people that it employs. If the cost of government was really and truly a serious, seriously being tackled, you wouldn't be bringing all these consultants. If you're bringing on consultants, people would need to know exactly what it is that you're paying them, particularly the ones you're bringing from overseas. Because there's no way that people will know, wait, hey, can we actually save money by not bringing these consultants, probably just paying them for one day for the advice that they have to give and let them go back to where they come from? Are you bringing another consultant again for, taxation something? At what price? I mean, if you want to go, if you're going to be saying home labor, at least let me find out first what it is that government paying to private lawyers, period. On a yearly basis, do we have a column that we can actually identify if Barbados is necessarily required to pay these people, or can we actually make savings there? You have a new building going up there in Warrens that they're moving a government department in. And what is that? You have another building there by the Basarong about where another government department is located. What are the costs of these things to government when you got a whole lot of properties there, particularly by the harbour. Nice-looking buildings with air conditioning and beautiful steps that these particular agencies could easily have been moved in and accommodated. But you're going into private. How can we save by doing things that way before you start sending home people? Why not the labour movement should be the one? Not me! The labour people should be there asking these questions. How can we save by doing all these various things? And then you come and promise me that if you send home my people, I'll create opportunities to spend taxpayers' money to re-employ them again but as private contractors. Would that make sense? You see, that meeting this evening should be one from which questions like this should derive. These are the questions that I would expect to see in the paper tomorrow. Why is that you're not showing any real sense of cutting costs in all these other areas? Because it's costs, not so much numbers. No, I'm not part of the labor, but I am part of a group that requires consumers to be available so that at least you can make some kind of income. Because every person that you send home, whether it's a permanent secretary or somebody at the bottom, is a person that has money in the pocket or would have had money in the pocket to come through a door and spend. Now, apparently we're not a social society. We are somebody who, a group of people, a country that's supposed to be determined by its GDP, you know, the mode of economic activity that takes place. How are you going to promote that particular concept if you're going to be sending home people? That's my problem. When you send home people, you send home consumers. A consumer that gets at home can't spend no more. They cease to be consumers anymore. And I have never come across one of these so-called lawyer parties that's ever seen a public servant as a consumer that needs to be maintained. Because the government employing 30% of the population is a significant part of this entire circle when it comes to spending and buying and that kind of thing. And they're going to affect that by sending home 1,500 people. If you saw them as human beings, yes, of course they're human beings. If you saw them as consumers, yes, you would not even be thinking about sending them home in the first place. Cut. If you're going to be serious, show the app. Well, obviously the guests at home, that determination has been made. But where are you going to cut those other costs? And you're still bringing in more and more consultants. You have the biggest cabinet in the history of mankind, per capita, or any country in the world. And that is supposed to be taken as a serious move. The idea is you're cutting costs, not cutting people. But you see, if you really had a Labour Party, that would never be a... I wouldn't even be calling on this programme because, truth be told, that would have been a consideration from day one. From day one. But as long as the consultants can continue working and getting their jobs and stuff, at least senior public servants can go home with the 5% increase they got about four or five weeks ago, life would be sweet for them, but not for the others. And they're supposed to believe it. They go off now as a private contractors and expect the government will come back to them with $100 million to spend. The $100 million could have been spent in the same public service through central government, but with reduced costs in all the other areas, and everybody will still be employed and happy. The public schools need teachers, you know. The IMF came to Barbados about 15, 20 years ago and tell the pages, listen, we're not going to increase the class size. You can't be no longer 70 and 80. You're going to have 30 or 35 people per class. Even what they call the comprehensive schools, where you know those children need specific attention. The smaller the class size, the better the students. Yeah, let Harrison Squash go along with 40 per classroom. They can handle it. But the other schools require special attention. I would take some of them public servants, some senior public servants, I'll put them in the schools and let them teach people too. Nobody going home, we just relocating people so they can better serve the people like us and the other people who require the product of the public service. And, you know, everybody will still be making a living. At least they'll be serving in a capacity where they can actually be used. You look at the public service and see all the senior administrators. Do you really need all of them? You're not going to send them home. But you can deploy them with a little cut here and there so they can actually service in a better way. The stenographers you can send home to do all the paperwork. The paperwork could easily have been done within the public service anyhow. When you go and employ them as a contractor, what are you going to do? You're going to pay them less money? You say, I don't get it. Wait, the private schools need stenographers big time because you got one stenographer going across 3 and 4 schools. These are things that you know. But the problem is if you view people as just workers, as a drawdown on public funds, then you're going to make these decisions quite easily. And expect that nice, pretty comment in the paper will make things right. They're human beings.
All right,
and you know, this should be a right. This should be a right.
We got
to
go.
Should have a right to earn.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your contribution. Now, a couple of things outside of, you know, just what we're discussing, a couple of things that may be of interest to you. a number of people are familiar with this Sri Lankan cricket captain, Sanath Jayasuriya. He's been charged by the International Cricket Council with two breaches of the anti-corruption code. He's accused of failing to cooperate with an investigation by the governing body. He's charged with obstructing the investigation by concealing tampering with or destroying evidence. And President Trump is suggesting that rogue killers could have been behind the disappearance of the Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey. Now, you know, there's been a lot of international attention on the disappearance of Khashoggi, who was last seen entering the Saudi consulate in Turkey. And this is a matter that is of interest to journalists, I suppose, around the world. And this is just an example of just how repressive the Saudi administration is and the lengths to which it apparently has gone to get rid of a dissenting voice. So the President of the United States came to this conclusion that he had been killed by rogue killers after a telephone conversation with the Saudi king, King Salman. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?